Brethren, I know what you're thinking. And you're thinking that I want to be comfortable, which is true. I traveled this country for many years. And I'm proud of it. But wherever I'd go, if there was any heat, I would take off my coat. And I'm doing so today because there's heat in this room. And many of you have done likewise. I authorize you, if there are any of you who haven't taken off your coats, to do so. I endorse with all my heart what you have heard tonight from my two counselors, whom I love and regard with the greatest affection. I'm tempted to indicate to you that I'll forego my remarks and print them up and send them to you. I don't know whether that would be acceptable or not. Tonight, but I'm impressed to do so. My message is to the fathers in Israel. I've changed my mind. I'm going to give it to you. My dear brethren, I am grateful to be here with you in this glorious assembly of the priesthood of God. I pray that the Spirit of the Lord will be with me and with you as I address you on a most vital subject. This evening, I would like to speak to the fathers assembled here and throughout the church about their callings, their sacred callings. And I hope you, young men, will also listen carefully, inasmuch as you are now preparing to become the future fathers of the church. Fathers, yours is an eternal calling, for which you are never released. Callings in the church, as important as they are, by their very nature, are only a period of time, and then an appropriate release takes place. But a father's calling is eternal, and its importance transcends time. It is called for both time and eternity. President Harold B. Lee truly stated that most important of the Lord's work that you fathers will do will be the work you do within the walls of your own home. Home teaching, bishopric work, and the other church duties are all important. But the most important work is within the walls of your home. What then is a father's specific responsibility within the sacred walls of his home? I suggest two basic responsibilities every father in Israel should give attention to. First, you have the responsibility to provide for the material needs of your family. The Lord clearly defined the roles of providing for and rearing a righteous posterity. In the beginning, Adam, not Eve, was instructed to earn the bread by the sweat of his brow. The Apostle Paul counsels husbands and fathers, but if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Early in the history of the restored church, the Lord specifically charged men with the obligation to provide for their wives and family. In January of 1832, he said, "Verily I say unto you, that every man who is obligated to provide for his family, let him provide, and he shall in no wise lose his crown." 3 months later, the Lord said again, "Women have claim on their husbands for their maintenance until they are taken." This is the divine right of a wife and mother. While she cares for and nourishes her children at home, her husband earns the living for the family, which makes this nourishing possible. In a home where there is an able-bodied husband, he is expected to be the breadwinner. Sometimes we hear of husbands who, because of economic conditions, have lost their jobs and expect the wives to go out of the home and work, even though the husband is capable of providing for his family. In these cases, we urge the husbands to do all in his power to allow his wife to remain in the home, caring for the children, while he continues to provide for his family the best he can, even though the job he is able to secure may not be ideal, and the family budgeting may have to be tighter. Also, the need for education or material things not justify the postponing of children in order to keep the wife working as the breadwinner of the family. I remember the counsel of our beloved President Spencer W. Kimball to married students. He said, "I have told tens of thousands of young folks that when they marry, they should not wait for children until they have finished their schooling and financial desires. They should live together normally and let children come. I know of no scripture, President Kimball continues, where the authorization is given to young wives to withhold their families and go to work to put their husbands through school. There are thousands of husbands who have worked their own way through school and have reared families at the same time. Brethren of the priesthood, I continue to emphasize the importance of mothers staying in the home and care for the training of their children in the principles of righteousness. As I traveled throughout the church, I feel that the great majority of Latter-day Saint mothers want to follow this counsel. But we know that sometimes the mother works outside of the home at the encouragement or even insistence of her husband. It is he who wants the items of convenience that the extra income can buy. Not only will the family suffer in such instances, brethren, but your own spiritual growth and progression will be hampered. I say to all of you, the Lord has charged men with the responsibility to provide for their families in such a way that the wife will be allowed to fill her role in the home. Fathers, another vital aspect of providing for the material needs of your family is the provision you should be making for your family in case of an emergency. Family preparedness has been a long-established welfare principle. It is even more urgent today. I ask you earnestly, have you provided for your family a year's supply of food, clothing, and where possible, fuel? The revelation to produce and store food may be as essential to our temporal welfare today as boarding the ark was in the days of Noah. Also, you are living within your income. Are you living within your income and saving a little? Are you honest with the Lord in the payment of your tithes? Living this divine law will bring spiritual and material blessings. Yes, brethren, as a father in Israel, have a great responsibility to provide for the material needs of your family and to have the necessity provisions in case of an emergency. Second, you have a sacred responsibility to provide spiritual leadership in your family. In a pamphlet published some years ago by the Council of the Twelve, we said the following: fatherhood is leadership, the most important kind of leadership. It has always been so. It will always be so. Father, with the assistance and counsel and encouragement of your eternal companion, you preside in the home. However, along with that presiding position comes important obligations. We sometimes hear accounts of men, even in the church, who think that being the head of the home somehow puts him in a superior role and allows them to dictate and make demands on their family. The Apostle Paul points out that the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. That is the model we are to follow in our role of presiding in the home. We do not find the Savior leading the church with a harsh or unkind hand. We do not find the Savior treating his church with disrespect or neglect. We do not find the Savior using force or coercion to accomplish his purposes. Nowhere do we find the Savior doing anything but that which edifies, uplifts, and comforts and exalts the home. Brethren, I say to you, with all the soberness, he is the model we must follow as we take the spiritual lead in our families. Particularly, is this true in your relationship with your wife? Here again, the counsel from the Apostle Paul is most beautiful and to the point. He says simply, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ has loved the church. In Latter-day Revelation, the Lord speaks again of this obligation. He said, thou shalt love thy wife with all thy heart, and shall cleave unto her and none else. To my knowledge, there is only one other thing in all Scripture that we are commanded to love with all of our hearts, and that is God Himself. Think what that means. This kind of love can be shown for a wife so many ways. First and foremost, nothing except God Himself takes priority over your wife in your work. Not work, not recreation, not hobbies. Your wife is your most precious eternal helpmate, your companion. What does it mean to love someone with all your heart? It means with all your emotional feelings and with all your devotion. Surely, when you love your wife with all your heart, you cannot demean her, criticize her, find fault with her, or abuse her by words, sullen behavior, or actions. What does it mean to cleave unto her? It means to stay close to her, to be loyal and faithful to her, to communicate with her, and to express your love for her. Love means being sensitive to her feelings and needs. She wants to be noticed and treasured. She wants to be told that you view her as lovely and attractive and important to you. Love means putting her welfare and self-esteem as a high priority in your life. You should be grateful that she is the mother of your children and the queen of your home. Grateful that she has been chosen homemaker and motherhood to bear, to nourish, to love, and to train your children, the noblest calling of all. Husbands, recognize your wife's intelligence and her ability to counsel with you as a real partner regarding family plans, family activities, and family budgeting. Don't be stingy with your time or with your means. Give her the opportunity to grow intellectually, emotionally, and socially, as well as spiritually. Remember, brethren, love can be nurtured and nourished by little tokens. Flowers on special occasions are wonderful, but so is your willingness to help with the dishes, change diapers, get up with a crying child in the night, leave the television or the newspaper to help with the dinner. Those are quiet ways to say, I love you. With our actions, they bring rich dividends for such a little effort. This kind of loving priesthood leadership applies to your children as well as your wife. Mothers play an important role as the heart of the home. But this is no way lessens her equal important role fathers should play in nurturing, training, and loving their children as head of the home. This is his responsibility. As the patriarch in your home, you have a serious responsibility to assume leadership in working with your children. You must help create a home where the Spirit of the Lord can abide. Your place is to give direction to all family life. You should take care, take an active part in establishing family rules and discipline. Your home should be havens of peace and joy for your families. Surely no child should fear his father, especially a priesthood father. A father's duty is to make his home a place of happiness and joy. He cannot do this when there is bickering, quarreling, contention, or unrighteous behavior. The powerful effect of righteous fathers in setting an example, disciplining and training, nurturing and loving is vital to the spiritual welfare of his children. With love in my heart for the fathers in Israel, may I suggest 10 specific ways that fathers can give spiritual leadership to their children. 1, give father's blessings to your children. Baptize and confirm your children. Ordain your sons to the priesthood. These will become spiritual highlights in the lives of your children. 2, personally direct family prayers, daily scripture reading, and weekly family home evenings. Your personal involvement will show your children how important these activities really are. 3, whenever possible, attend church meetings together as a family. Family worship under your leadership is vital to your children's welfare, spiritual welfare. Go on daddy-daughter dates and father and son's outings with your children. As a family, go on campouts and picnics, to ball games and recitals, to school programs, and so forth. Having daddy there makes all the difference. 5, build traditions of family vacations and trips and outings. These memories will never be forgotten by your children. 6, have regular one-on-one visits with your children. Let them talk about what they would like to. Teach them gospel principles. Teach them true values. Tell them you love them. Seven, teach your children to work and show them the value of working toward a worthy goal. Establishing mission funds and education funds for your children shows them that dad considers what dad considers to be important. 8, encourage good music and art and literature in your homes. Homes that have a spirit of refinement and beauty will bless the lives of your children forever. 9, as distances allow, regularly attend the temple with your wife. Your children will then better understand the importance of temple marriage and temple vows and the eternal unit as a family. 10, have your children see your joy and satisfaction in service to the church. This can become contagious to them, so they too will want to serve in the church and love the kingdom. Oh, husbands and fathers in Israel, you can do so much for the salvation and exaltation of your families. Your responsibilities are so important. Remember your sacred callings as a father in Israel. Your most important calling in time or in eternity, a calling which you will never be released from. May you always provide for the material needs of your family and with your eternal companion at your side, may you fulfill your sacred responsibility to provide the spiritual leadership in your home. To this end, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, amen.